Talk about Goosebumps 2. Some people said that's already out, ain't it? No, that was that other movie.
I know.
Clock on the Walls. Clock in the Walls. That other Jack Black movie.
Jack Black.
Yeah, the other Jack Black movie that looks very similar. No, that's not the one that we're talking about. This is the sequel with less Jack Black in it. And let me go ahead and pull up the trailer right here. This is pull this up. This is the sequel that takes place in a different town with a whole set of different characters, because with this one, they kind of went in and man in blacked the whole place. You know, they said that a lot of these people, they don't remember what happened. They can't be, you know, magic erased their memories. So they had to go to another town and kind of recreate what happened there. And a lot of people are saying, well, shit, you know, no big star actors in this except for Jack Black, and he's hardly ever in it. I don't sound like that's a good thing to me. A lot of people are very, very, very on guard about this, especially since the first one was not that bad. The first one was actually pretty good. Did you see it?
Yeah, no, I saw it. And I don't know if I'd call it pretty good, but it was not that
actually,
bad.
Actually, I liked it a lot. And it really resonated with the people who grew up on the Goosebumps books, because they were able to see some of their actual characters come to life that scared them so much when they were kids. Let's go ahead and see if this second one has the same effect. This is Goosebumps 2. Haunted Halloween, and we'll be back with our review.
Halloween around here.
Hey, look,
you're like, what you looking at?
They were looking at him like motherfuckers just the first time in jail. I'm gonna fuck you up tonight. I ain't mean mugging him.
I know.
Fresh Man. Fish.
I don't think this place is giving out candy.
I know that oboe.
Got that fat man just walking the room. That's funny, because right when he showed up, they little chubby boy, they were.
Hey, what's that? Haunted Halloween.
Did you miss me?
You discovered a walking, talking dummy and you didn't tell me?
Okay, well, he seemed like a really nice guy at the start.
They're moving.
So tiny and cute, what can they possibly do?
Sonny, they're just gummy bears.
You know what? I'm talking about the first Goosebumps movie, and I'll say that this is actually pretty much like the first Goosebumps movie, except lame. Because the first Goosebumps movie, like, Martin wasn't too crazy about it. I never read Goosebumps because that was way before my time, and you know what? I don't know a lot of the characters that all the kids know, but I know a lot of the millennials and younger who saw that the first Goosebumps was coming out, and they even looked at the trailer. They were like, "Oh shit, that's from that book. From that book over there." And this was pretty much like, and that's what it was. There were books come to life with monsters that come out and wreak havoc on a town. It's sort of like Gremlins, but with a who's who of Goosebumps characters.
Yeah,
and it was fun to see how the kids recognized them. And you know what? It would actually be sort of almost be like a Gremlins ripoff if it weren't for one clever thing that kind of held the movie together. and that is Jack Black as R.L. Stine. You know, this is the guy who plays the author of the Goosebumps movies, and he came into the movie, and it brought a cohesiveness and kind of a dark humor to the film, where you have this author trying to hunt down all the creatures that he created, which was a nice little hook for the film. And as I said, it was something that actually throughout the movie held it down, held it together. I don't know if you felt that way with the first Goosebumps movie, but that's the way I kind of felt here.
Okay.
Now, with this new version that we got, you don't have so much Jack Black anymore in here.
Not his physical presence.
But you do have him in the other form of Slappy. This is at this point, they hardly have Jack Black here because we got Slappy. This is the Slappy show. This thing might as well be called The Return of Slappy, or Slappy's Revenge, or
it was
Night of the Slappy, because
this would be Return of the Living Dummy.
Yeah, no, we already had Return of the Living Dummy. This is the continuation, Bride of Slappy or something. Because, you know, that's what this is called. It's called Haunted Halloween. Nah, it's Slappy. The Slappy Hour. This.
Well, every Halloween is haunted, but it is very Slappy centric.
And they do that because they know that Slappy is their most popular character.
He's their Spider-Man.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know that, so they focus so much on this character to a fault, because they leave it up to him to carry the film so much that the rest of the film is underwritten. Speaking for myself, and look, I know, no offense to Slappy, I'm a fan. I like Slappy. I love scary dummies, man.
Yeah.
Mom's like, well, you love yourself.
Nah. That's too cheap. I wasn't going to say that.
But you were thinking it. I know you.
No, I didn't even put that in the chamber.
Mom, I saw your eyes. No, he's like, I'm just not going to say it. No, but no, you too long, man.
It's too easy.
No, Martin. Oh, Martin, I know. I got telekinetic link.
Do you have it?
I got
telekinetic.
Yeah, I got it so much you can't say it. You jamming up my airways. How'd you feel about this, what I'm saying about this being the Slappy show?
Well, I think the way you feel is how most people are going to feel about it. And I felt the opposite.
How so, when you say the opposite?
Okay, so I read a bunch of the Goosebumps books when my kids were little. I used to read to them all the time before bed, and the Goosebumps were my favorites to read, because I really got into those stories. And the Slappy books, you know, everything was, it was always something with the living dummy. Those are our favorites. Now with the first movie, I was like, yeah, this is good. They actually put some money in it, and it's clever and it's fun. But it didn't feel like a Goosebumps book. It felt like, hey, here's a Goosebumps retrospective and best of,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, a who's who of Goosebumps. And if you hadn't, it felt as if like, hey, we're only gonna make this one movie. That's why we're throwing all the characters in here. And we got that R.L. Stine gimmick, which I was like, yeah, it's kind of clever for what this is. But I always felt, man, I kind of wanted to see just a Goosebumps tale.
Mm-hmm.
And this one feels more like that, where it is all about Slappy, and it's one singular tale where he's the main monster who brings these others. And honestly, the structure of this is just like the Goosebumps books. Even the way they find him, the way he comes in, and they're all like, huh, well, he seems like he might be all right, or he's kind of cool but kind of weird, and then he just shows his evil side and takes over. Even the way he looks here, the way he looks kind of rough and beat up as opposed to the first one, that reminded me more.
He looked like that in the first one?
He seemed like he looked more polished.
No, that's the thing. He looked like that. Not too much change with him.
Well, and there's some moments in here where I was like, because I was like, it's a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to wake up and see this. And I was like, I know this is going to be lame. And I was like, and somehow within it, I was like, you know what? Every so often in here, there's something kind of cool or actually funny. There's that moment when Slappy goes off on his own to go after, one of the characters, a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that was set up, I was like, this is like a real, honest to goodness, horror movie. The way he's all creepily coming in and about to fuck this kid up. And just a bunch of moments like that. I was like, you know what? I'm enjoying it for these little things I like along the way.
Yeah. So I couldn't be there with you, man.
Well, I understand. I'm telling you, as somebody who read the books, it reminded me of those books more than the first movie did. And it also reminded me of that TV series.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why I didn't like it. Maybe it's because I'm just, again, case of just seeing too many movies. I don't like these characters. Slappy's such a big thing in the movie that and when I say everything's underwritten, I'm talking about the characters too. For one, I've seen a string of movie series lately where it's the characters are defined by the same cliche that you see in every other mediocre family or children's movie. The main characters in the movie, you saw them in the trailer. You got the chubby kid in here, the big sister. You know, you got the black friend that's in this. You know, and these two guys here. The black guy is.
Well, they don't make a big deal about him being black.
They don't make a big deal about him. I'm just saying that's what you see, the cliche of the token black friend. You got, you know, and they're both nerds. This guy right here, what's his name? This kid is named Jeremy something. Jeremy Ray Taylor. And then his the black friend is Khalil Harris. And I don't mind a token black guy. I don't mind a chubby nerd in the movie. That's fine with me. But they're defined by being underdogs because they have a bully. And I'm sick and tired of the same old bully that's coming out. I want the movie about the bully. Why are you so angry? Are you just picking on kids for no reason?
I do want some movie to have a bully to where we at least understand his motivation, even if we don't agree with it. But it always has these guys who want to pick on somebody for just no reason whatsoever.
For no reason at all. They got a bully in here who just he just like you. Just like if you did, I guess they looked at him wrong one day. I don't know. But it defines these characters. It's like that's why we're supposed to feel for them. Because, oh, there's a guy that picks on them at school. And honestly, I don't even know these kids that well. So I'm just kind of like, fine, fuck with them. Beat their ass. I don't care. I don't know them that well. Who are they? And.
Okay, whenever we see movies where a bully's picking on kids and the teachers just are nowhere to be found or don't step in, you're that teacher.
Yeah, or we just saw this in another movie just 2 weeks ago. The teachers, these dumbass teachers, every time they come up, the bully pretty much just beat the fuck out this kid. And the teacher comes up like, why are you still in the hall? And he's like, oh, hello, Miss Johnson. I'm just talking to my buddy right here. And motherfuckers hardly have consciousness. I'm just at school, just enjoying learning and getting an education. I'm not beating the shit out of people.
Dude, that was this movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
But which movie are you talking about?
Martin, we just saw this movie not too long. I don't want to say, but we just saw this. And Martin, it's in every other movie. We see this cliche all the time. Okay. Let's not act like we don't see it. You know,
no, we do.
I know. And I'm just tired of it, man. Just tired of it.
Tired.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired, Martin. Saturday morning watching some shit I haven't seen before. The girlfriend in the movie. I'm sorry, the big sister in the movie. It's always. And this, the big sister's played by Wendy McLendon Covey. And
no, that's the mom.
I'm sorry. That is the mom. I'm sorry. You know who played the daughter in the movie?
I know she was in Jumanji.
That's where I saw her from. Yeah. That's right. I know. Madison Iceman.
That's right.
That's who that was.
Yeah.
She, good actress. She was good in Jumanji. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, she's a. Every older high school student that we see trying to get into college, if it's a girl, they always got a boyfriend that turns out to be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, it's just same shit, and always has, you know, they always got that scene of, Mom, I was invited to a party. Well, stay home with your brother. And I'm like, oh, shit, this sitcom. This is a movie of this ABC family.
That's a little of column A, a little of column B.
Yeah, so leave that shit on TV. You know, And speaking of the mom, what's her name? Wendy.
McLendon Covey.
Always a single mom who just happens to meet the guy in town who's too shy to talk to her. You know, it's these things are defined by cliches. They're not real characters. And, you know, that to me, that's when you write shorthand that way, that's one of my gripes that I've always seen. Unless the movie can really defy that, which to me this does not, then I'm out.
Okay, so it was okay in First Man, but now at Goosebumps, you got a problem with it.
What was the problem in First Man? Enlighten me, please.
No, these underwritten characters?
But I told you that it overcame that because in the second half of the movie, it gave a lot of meaning to everything that was going on before. Instead of just letting them be characters to fill space. This ain't deep at all. This shit ain't no reflection on nothing but making money off of a movie that was popular before this. And your two leads are weak, man. I'm sorry. The chubby kid, he can't act.
He can't.
No, he cannot act.
No, he's bad.
And when they do talk, they talk in sitcom quips and jokes. Every time they say, then again, not even real dialogue. I'm not convinced that they're friends. Every time they say something, it's a joke, some lame act, and I'm expecting a laugh track to come in.
Yeah, the black kid, Khalil, he's having to carry that friendship.
He really is. And I'm not even blaming the actors. It's just that they just don't seem very good.
Well, yeah, no, they, with the other actor, what's his name? Jeremy. Yeah, just a lot of times when he was spoken to, he seemed like he was staring into space and then would just come back very dryly with his reply. I was like, dude, be present. Come on.
Yeah.
You're here.
Yeah, they really, and the funny thing about it is even the thing that they do, this job that they have, is like, no wonder you're getting your ass beat. You're garbage man. Like they say, we got a business picking up people's junk and trash.
Wait, a garbage man are supposed to get their asses beat?
These kids are, because they act like, oh, we're budding businessmen. No, you're garbage pail kids. You know, you just go around picking up trash for everybody. You're like a miniature Sanford and Son. It's like y'all are doing everything you can to not be cool in high school. No wonder you're getting your ass beat.
Why does somebody have to try to be cool?
Because the bullies picking on them. I would think they want to do something to get them off their ass. But you know what? I'm not even worried about them. The job that they have is like you got that job only as an excuse to find the dummy, to go into a place with some garbage and find them. It's not even like it doesn't even feel authentic with these two. You know, you like Scrappy in this, huh?
Slappy.
I just got through talking about trash.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's Jack Black doing his impression of Mark Hamill's Joker for the most part. But yeah, I did, because he was a lot more like Slappy is in the books.
Okay, in the books, is Slappy a god?
No, because that was one thing when he's using telekinesis and doing stuff. I was like, they've seemed to have upgraded his power set.
Because in this movie, Slappy is a god.
Yeah,
Slappy has infinite power, which just means that whenever we need to do something, we just make shit up on the spot. Because there's no real definition no real weaknesses as to what defines Slappy. Slappy can do anything. As you said, Slappy got telekinetic powers. Slappy can teleport.
That seemed like he always could do it.
Yeah, Slappy can move shit with his mind. Slappy can actually turn other people into dummies.
Because this time they buried him and he got back home and he was sitting there like, yeah, that shit didn't work, did it? Now sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, Slappy can do anything that they want Slappy to do. Like I said, and some of it's horrifying. So like Slappy actually turned somebody into a living dummy. And I'm like,
yeah, that was okay. See, that's a lot of little horrifying things in that, because I think this movie is for younger kids.
Yeah,
and I would see things like that. I was like, all right, some kid's gonna have a nightmare about that.
Some kid's gonna say, man, this is bullshit. I'm gonna go watch this. I'm gonna go home and read the books.
Well, that kid was you.
Goddamn right. See, I told you he's calling me a dummy. See, I knew it.
No, I thought I very clearly called you a little kid.
I'm a grown-ass man. You called a kid. That's calling me a dummy. Might as well be calling my ass mentally challenged.
I ain't getting in trouble.
I know what you're doing. It is a creepy effect. I like it. But, you know, with Slappy, so his motivation is weak in the movie for me. Not only does he have infinite powers that they don't really define, they just kind of make up whenever they need something, whenever it's convenient to have him pop up somewhere or read somebody's mind. I do agree with you, him being kind of creeping at one part. I said, man, that part you're talking about, I agree with you wholeheartedly with that. That is a good horror moment in here.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good horror. And just him kind of terrorize these kids. Like, hey, we're going to be a family now, right? Wait, why y'all over there talking without me? It's like, jeez.
Okay. Yeah, there are moments in here where they play it like a slasher film.
Yeah.
You know, he singles out that one teenager who got away from the herd doing some stupid shit, like standing on a ladder, yeah. You know, conveniently set up for a kill. You know, but I wish the movie had expanded on moments like that. Because that thing you talk about him, like, what is Slappy? In the first one, Slappy's motivation was, look, I ain't going back to jail. He didn't want to be in that book no more. He's like, I'm gonna release my army of monsters and we're gonna take over the world. We ain't going back in that shit. But with this, Slappy comes back and is like, what is his motivation here? Oh, he wants a family. He wants a mommy. They don't ever explain why. Why does he want a family? Fuck, I know. They don't really give you a reason why. They just need a reason for him to come back and do some stupid, evil shit. And granted, doesn't even work that well because the kids had been nicer to him, the little son of a bitch might have been cool.
He was not going to be cool. Trust me. He would have been cool for a little while. Nobody who blackmails you is going to be cool.
Martin, who likes being picked up and talking about, look at this ugly motherfucker right here. You know, when they knew that he was actually conscious and alive, they should have started treating him. They should have said, oh, shit, man, my bad. I'm sorry.
You'd have been like, I got to get this motherfucker out of my house.
No, I would have been like, I'm reasonable, Martin. I would have been like, Slappy, man, look, I know I said some shit. Let's start over. I didn't know you were alive. You know? I probably said some shit I didn't mean. If we want to be a family, then let's be brothers, man. You know, ain't going to be no funny shit on my end. I don't want none of yours
too
either.
Late now.
Yeah, well, okay, then your ass got to go. In a better written movie. Now, Martin, it does have its fun parts. There are moments where when the creatures start to appear, I like that, man. Because I think the designs of the creatures are pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought they were too. I was surprised by that because I thought, well, once it gets to here, this is where it's going to lose me. I was like, oh, they actually spent some work on it.
No, they're very cool designs that they got going on. It's good to see the variety. It's good to see this motherfucker really into this role.
I did not notice him before just now.
Look,
yes.
Look, I never noticed this before. I just looked at this. If you're listening, you should look at one frame in this trailer right here. There's a frame where they got one dude. He's a combination of Frankenberry and Count Chocolate right there. Uh-huh. And he's looking at the camera, overacting. Blah! Blah!
It's the most fabulous vampire I've ever seen.
Look at me, mother. You said I'd be nothing. But it's cool. But you know, the thing I don't like about it is that it's just all there to be random effects images. Just there for creatures to run amok. I don't think that there's really any story, like I was talking about with Jack Black, to hold these things together. Slappy's it'll hold it together. But again, I think his motivation is weak. And even with that, the way these creatures are let loose in the first movie, it was kind of cool that they were escaping from books because the author had these cursed books that were really sure. That's why I thought the story was great. This whole time, you thought that R.L. Stine was writing these books because he's a genius or because he's such a great author. Turns out that these books are kind of cursed and these ideas are coming from him because these are ideas that want to actually come to life. Here, it's none of that. It's the way these creatures come to life. Slappy goes into a knockoff Walgreens or CVS and just says, he starts talking in tongues, they're talking a bunch of mumble jumbo, and all of a sudden, creatures start coming to life off the shelves.
I love a good holiday sale. Hello, old friends. Karumari. Odarnaloma, Malanu, Karano, Karumari.
So, you know, that's how they do Slappy in all these scenes. That's how they explain it. He just goes in, just talks a bunch of gibberish, pig Latin
stuff. Casting a spell.
Yeah, it's nay on the appy sleigh, and you know, and all of a sudden, all these things come to life. But to me, that's a cheat. He can do anything
honestly, in every one of his books, it's because somebody utters that phrase. They find it, they utter that incantation, and he comes to life.
That's cool for him coming to life. When I see it for everything else coming to life, I'm just kind of like, all right, you know, you can do that. Again, it's a convenience. You can do that for anything that you want in the movie, and he does. But that's, you know, that's for me. Like I said, I haven't read the books like you have. And I will say this. The movie really does work well when it's capturing the spirit of Halloween.
Yeah. It works well doing that. I love that they have this neighborhood that really goes all out for it. The design on Ken Jeong is their neighbor who goes way too far on Halloween and doesn't have kids, but he's got this giant spider made out of balloons. And I was like, huh, that works really well. I wish I had the patience to put something like that together.
No, it does.
It looks cool.
And you know what's great about that is that just watching people decorate like Ken Jeong in the movie, it puts you in a Halloween spirit.
Yeah.
It makes you feel really cool about it. And Ken Jeong, again, he's pulled back. He's a little funny. As Martin said, he's a guy that just loves Halloween just a little bit too much for a grown man who ain't got no kids.
Halloween with pumpkins and mice. Halloween. It's so nice.
That ain't acting. He loves Halloween. I think they just drove by and saw him decorating his house. Hey, Ken, want to be in a movie, man? Hells yeah.
Halloween. Faster. Pumpkins and mice. Hey, Kathy. Hey, kids.
Yeah. Mr. Chu. Wow, you've practically got a theme park here.
Check this out. Oh, my. Oh, it's like being in the movies. I'm going to have these puppies up and running in no time. You know, for the kids.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Doesn't actually have kids, does he?
No, he does not.
Yeah, his ass gonna be in jail by next Halloween. don't get candy from his ass.
But you notice how throughout the night he kept changing costumes.
Yeah,
like he's just that into it.
He's like a Halloween diva.
Yeah,
doing costume changes throughout the night. Shit, does more costume changes than Lady Gaga. You know the what for all the things that I do like with the Halloween spirit, what bothered me with it is that it's a movie that admits that it's badly written. And they finally get to a point where Arl Stein shows up. It's just kind of like, oh, my writing was very, very amateurish at the time. I'm just like,
oh, I love that.
So you just told me that this is some shitty writing, right? This is a shitty script.
I'm surprised that was almost a jab at the actual R.L. Stein who makes a cameo in the movie.
I thought it was towards the script.
No, I think it was towards his books.
Yeah, I think differently. But that's where we disagree.
Yeah,
I know.
You just influenced because you're sitting there like, man, I got a hangover. Why am I watching this bullshit?
That too. But still, I was just kind of like, so you just admit that you shat this movie out. Right here, that does not give you an excuse to make a shitty movie. If that's the case, then leave this shit in the books at home.
That's not how I read that line.
You know what? And maybe they didn't intend it, but it should have felt like that. You know something? The movie even feels cheaper than the first film. It feels,
oh, definitely.
It feels more generic. It actually doesn't have as much atmosphere as the first Goosebumps movie. If you look at the trailer for the first Goosebumps movie, you can see what they did was they set up this really great atmosphere with some of the acting and with some of the set design and art direction. You know, the creepy neighbor in the creepy house. You know, you can see that the money in this is going into just better cinematography.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and with this just feels cheaper. And the first one was a successful movie, so I don't know why they would do that. I didn't even have to look up the numbers. The first Goosebumps, that was a $58 million budget that they had for that. And ended up making $80 million. This one is $35 million.
Yeah, well sometimes that's how they go with it, because you look, 80 million from 58, that's a nice number, but it's not, ooh, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it didn't make 100 million, so they cut back.
So they cut back, that's always what happens. Because I could tell from the trailer that they cut back on the budget, which is one reason I was not looking forward to this, and trying to think to myself, man, is there any way I can skip going to this movie? And watching it, it's like, yeah, it's clear that the budget is not there. It's better than a Disney Channel movie, but not by a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah. And they had some moments in the movie that surprised me, too. That whole thing with the gummy bears, I thought that was just going to be sort of a cheap special effect scene in the film. But Actually, that was one of the more horrifying parts of the movie.
Yeah, I thought that too. I thought, all right, oh, this is the gummy bears part. Okay, let's get this over with. And
yeah.
As I sat there thinking about it, I was like, all right, that's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah, set piece is what I was looking for. I thought it was going to be like a cute comedic set piece to let's kind of go in and take advantage of, oh, look, we took an innocent candy and made it did a sinister twist on it. But they actually did do a sinister twist on it. The movie works best when it's capturing the spirit of Halloween and when it does capture some real horror movie moments. But I just felt like it really did feel like a sequel to Harrigan get something out before the property got a little stale. And also to just be a little careful and whip this out really quick because the first movie didn't make as much as they thought it would. So they pulled back on a lot of things, including a good story, I thought. So this is a rental. Nice Halloween movie, but nothing special. Comes on TV. Wouldn't criticize it too much. Actually, would admire it for some of the really good Halloween parts that are in there. Why are you laughing, man?
Here's why I'm laughing. We've been back and forth on this. And I know I like this movie more than you. Most of your criticism, I agree with. It's got a Hallmark Channel movie look about it. It's cheap. It cheaps out on story places here and there. And the characters aren't all that developed, and some of the kid actors aren't that good. And yet, I found so many little things that I not just like, well, not, I won't say loved, but really genuinely enjoyed or were surprised by. Either things I thought were scary in their own way or jokes that were funny, to where watching this, I was just sitting there, I was amused. I was just like, huh, that was funny. I like that. Oh, damn. Oh, wow. A little kid actually could be terrified. Okay. I was like, this is effective even though it shouldn't be. But the reason I laughed is because I was going to give it a rental also. For all our back and forth, it is a rental. It is the kind of movie you watch at home. It's a good Halloween movie. I mean, like Jack Black, suddenly he's Mr. October. Mm-hmm. Like, Halloween is mine! But yeah, if you have some smaller younger kids, I think it'd be good for them.
So give it a rental?
Yeah.
Well, he just doesn't get it. Just doesn't understand. It's a rental, y'all. Not a rental. Jesus, man.
But I'm giving it a happy rental.
Okay, well, I'm giving a mad rental. Just to spite you, man. Nah, I'm all right with it, man. You know, okay. I was hungover. What do I know?
I actually did. I could have swore I heard you laughing through. I was like, okay, so he's getting what I see here.
I was drunk, Corey. I sewed up a little bit.
They're moving.
So tiny and cute, what can they possibly do?
Sonny, they're just gummy bears.